Hey, people. This is JJ, this is BS3 Network. This is the Lone Star Barn Burner Live, and yeah, we didn't have a barn burner last night against Boston, man. We'll have that and a whole lot more when my buddy K-Fitz joins the show. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite snack. Let's talk hockey.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How's it going, sir?
Well, it's going. Not too happy with the way the Stars are playing right now, but we'll get into that here in a few minutes. But other than that, it's going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you.
You know, one quote that I heard last night from last night's game against Boston, and don't quote me on this, I'm not exactly sure what the exact wordage of it was, but apparently when they were interviewing Coach DeBoer, one of his comments were, we need to get our defensemen more active in the offensive zones because, you know, 3-on-5, you're never going to win that. And boy, if that's not true. And I don't really necessarily think that our defensemen aren't getting involved. I just think that we're just not controlling the puck enough, and we're turning it over a lot in our zones, and we're not giving our defensemen an opportunity to get involved before it's already going the opposite direction into our offensive zone. What's your thoughts?
I think that's well said. You know, if they're busy chasing the puck, how the heck can they engage at all? You know, especially against Boston, like they're again one of the top teams in the league, and yeah, we kept up with them, but you know,
a little too late.
Yeah.
I mean, Pavelski got that goal with 26, I believe, you know, 26, 20, 25, 26 seconds left on the clock. I'm sorry, but yeah, that's all wonderful. And then we get a penalty, and we had an opportunity with 5 seconds left on the clock, but still, we didn't win that face-off. We gave them an opportunity to pin it up in that corner and just didn't get a clean shot to even tie the game, in my opinion. And it just, you know, yeah, it's Boston. Yeah, they're pretty much the premier team in the league once again this season. However, you've got to look at it this way too. You've got two, you know, guys that got their first goal last night in the league, and the first two goals that they got in Beecher and I'm gonna tear this up. Lori, I'm guessing, is that how you pronounce his last name?
I think so. Lori? Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, both of them got their first goals of the season against the Stars. And I'm not sure what's going on, but, man, Ottinger just doesn't look like he's on his game like he was last season. We're not getting a lot of play out of a lot of our players that we expect some play. Yeah, it's great that, you know, players like Robertson have, you know, points from assists, but we need these players to get some goals. I mean, we can't rely on it constantly being the same ones of, you know, Johnson, Pavelski, and Roope Hintz being our only offensive players that are really doing anything out there. And young Johnston, he's trying so hard this season. His penalty numbers are up just because, you know, he's out there, you know, doing what needs to be done, unfortunately. And, you know, I just feel like there's a lot of players that are out there that are just not doing it. Now, in the Stars' defense, I will say this. Not having Matt Duchene out there, I think, is hurting them, because Matt Duchene has actually kind of, in my opinion, shown himself to be a shining star on this team. And unfortunately, he was taken out the game before and hadn't come back. I'm not sure if he got a concussion or whatnot. Have you gotten a report on his what's going on with Duchene?
No, I haven't heard a single peep. No. I'll have to log in and check.
Yeah, I hadn't heard exactly what it is that's going on with him. I mean, yeah, they're hoping he'll be back by next game, or at least the game after that. But, you know, not having him out there, you can really tell that the team's just not playing the way it should be playing. And I feel like, yeah, it was great that we kept it close against the best team in the league and we didn't get blown out. I think that was one of the first things when I messaged you last night. You know, I would love a win, but if we're going to lose, I just hope it's not a blowout. I hope we at least keep up with them. And we did, in a way, even though it was late goals, but still, at least we kind of kept it honest there for a little bit. But, you know, you're just not going to win these type of games, especially when you're giving up goals, when you're in opportunities. And it just seems like some players are just, you know, there's some opportunities that are there and just players just aren't in the right positions.
Yeah. And you have to be against a team like Boston, man. They're good from offense all the way back to goalie. Like, there is,
yeah.
If you're going to beat them, you got to beat them the right way. And, you know, every dog does have its day. Look at Anaheim beating Vegas the other night, you know.
Exactly.
And again, you know, that has to do with what you said, positioning, puck control, and, you know, right place, right time helps as well. But, you know, you can't have all that if you don't have the puck.
And the Stars' puck control this season is, in my opinion, worse than it was last season. I don't know how you do that, but it is a lot worse this season than it was last season. Our shots and goal, I'd have to look up the statistics from last season to this season, but I just feel like our shots on goal are way down.
And the only thing that's consistent with it was the record this time last season is pretty similar. There might be a different loss here and there, but it's right about the same.
Yeah, so it is. And we're still up there. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're number one in our division right now. But that, you know, or I'm sorry, in our conference. Our division. I had it right. I'm getting football and everything mixed up. It's been an exciting week for me football-wise. Real quick, want to give a shout-out to my quarterback, C.J. Stroud. Boy, he put on a clinic the other day. Anyway, back to hockey.
Not that my team would know anything about that, but that's not.
Hey. Other than Dak stepping out of bounds, he actually had a pretty good game against the Eagles, honest and truly. And yeah, I understand there's players out there that want, or fans out there that want to scream about, you know, the referees getting involved. But I'll be honest with you, you go back and watch that Houston game, there were a lot of number one missed calls. There were a lot of calls that were made that were not. You know, they called a holding call on one of our offensive linemen, and he wasn't even touching the player. The player fell down, and they called it holding. You know, I think the league needs to look into making holding a challengeable call. I mean, I just do. Yeah, there's holding on every play, but, you know, I don't think you should be able to challenge each play and say, hey, I think that was holding, but I think you should be able to challenge a holding call, especially if it's blatant like that. You can't leave it in the hands of the referees, is all I'm saying.
Speaking of which, let's segue that back to hockey, because I see the perfect opportunity. Because, mm-hmm. you know, late calls and whatnot, right? You know, what if, and I don't know if maybe they are, but what if they had some challengeable penalties? I think they are. There are some. But, you know, you've seen you've seen players like Tyler Seguin get called for something, and then you could see him visibly upset with his hands up in the air, like, what?
Oh, and yeah. You
can see him mouthing saying that.
Tyler Seguin, his first penalty last night against Lindholm, that was ridiculous. I mean, even the announcers were like, I don't know, that's really ticky-tacky that they called it. And, you know, and then Hakanpaa got another one for a high sticking. And to me, nor anybody that I've, you know, that was watching the game, you know, it appeared like it did not appear like it was high sticking. It just kind of, once again, it was just ticky-tacky stuff, but. You know.
That's when the crowd booed, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
I heard them boo like crazy, and I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm done at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, when you got the crowd booing you because they know what shouldn't be called, and we haven't even been trained, really? Come on.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, I will say that Jamie Benn's cross-checking, that one was a good one. I don't remember Marchman's. And Marchman's holding of the stick. Yeah, that one was kind of chintzy as well. I mean, he kind of got his hand around the stick, but I wouldn't necessarily constitute holding. But I guess if they're going by the letter of what the penalty is, it is. But I think some of these calls are kind of, and then, of course, they scored on the Marchman. Penalty, but Jamie Benn, his was just more mostly out of frustration, and I felt it for him because, you know, you honestly and truly, you watched that game last night, you could see there's a lot of frustration built up in Jamie Benn because, you know, I think in his mind, this is a much better team than the way they're playing right now, and him as a captain, I know he's wanting them to, you know, not only win, but he wants them to make a mark and win as a team that they should be winning. You know, they should be dominating some of these games, and unfortunately, they're just not.
They should have dominated every one of the games they've lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, even in the shootout or whatever, that counts too. Like, why did you let your opponent back in?
Right.
You know, there's been just all out, yeah, you should have lost. And then there's been the losses that, you know, you look back and you're like, why did you take your foot off the gas? They are very, very guilty of it.
Yeah. Well, one thing I can say. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Sometimes they're not even able or willing to show up until the last period of games. That's all I was going to say.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of like if you were to look at the shots on goal for the last game against the Bruins, you know, it shows the Stars had 37 shots on goal against 29 on the Bruins. Well, yeah, that's all well and good. But if you go look period for period and when a lot of those shots were, a lot of those shots didn't come until late in the periods. And unfortunately, you can't wait until late in the periods to start trying to get shots off on goal. You know, they need to be consistent. Because I can remember consistently looking over and seeing that the Bruins had more shots on goal than Dallas. And I don't think we actually pulled, you know, close with them or even tied with them on shots on goal until middle of the second period. And you know, you're just not going to win games, you know. And these shots need to be quality shots on goal. If you look at the two goals that we did get last night, both of them were on, you know, redirection, you know, ricocheting off, you know, another player's stick or whatever. Once you figure out that that's how you've got to get these goals, you know, stop trying to get it past that netminder, you know, especially, you know, going low with the puck because, you know, their netminder was just too good for those type of shots. You have to make some creative shots to score against Boston.
I mean, they're getting to the point where they have to have creativity in every game. Like, they're playing up to people, they're playing down to people. It's never consistent.
Right.
And I mean, for that, go ahead.
Well, just the shots on goal, I was just bringing this back up again. You know, the first period, Boston had 14 shots on goal, we had 11. Second period, they had 11, we had 10. And so, like I said, actually, it wasn't until the third period that we actually came up and you can't wait till the third period to finally get 16 shots on goal against 4 and expect to win a game. It's just not going to happen.
I mean, unless you're Boston. Boston can do that because they're willing to do what it takes to get people out of position. I mean, look what they did to us. I mean, okay. So one of the things about puck control as well is, you know, you can zip right by somebody and pull them out of where they're supposed to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? And Boston's good at that. Now, if we had done the same thing where you could send Boston scrambling, dude, that game would have been the other way easily. Mm-hmm. Because you've got guys like Wyatt Johnston willing to do whatever it takes. You got the mighty Tipper and Joe Pavelski. Like, come on. They could have and maybe should have beaten Boston.
Honestly, truly, I think they could have beaten Boston. Because if you ask me, I don't think Boston played up to their potential last night, to be honest with you. I think they kind of slacked off and wasn't playing how they've played, you know, in some of their other games. I feel like, you know, if we were going to beat them, we were poised. I mean, last night was an opportunity to hand Boston their first loss, you know.
Yeah, but they played dumbed down hockey because the Stars are, we'll say, weaklings in their eyes. You know, we're like somewhere in the top 10 of the league. Yeah, but we're not right there with them at number 1 and 2.
Right.
You know, so, oh, we have to play down to them because they're so much lower than us. And it's so easy to pull them out of position. It's so easy to get the puck from them. It's easy.
Right. And going 0-for-3 in the power play against a team like Boston, that's just not going to cut it either. You know, when you do get these opportunities where you're up a man, you've got to take advantage of them, and we're just not.
What was their power play like? Were they just standing around and waiting for the right shot, or did they shoot when?
They had, I believe it was their second power play where they really were going after it. I mean, and I do know that I believe it was the right after the Boston's third goal, and they went on the power play. I'm trying to remember from last night. I know when we were shorthanded at one point. And I think I messaged you that Johnson and Pavelski were just going wide at him. I mean, there was like 3 or 4 opportunities on the shorthand were between Pavelski or was it Hintz? It might have been Hintz. I'm not sure. But I know Johnson was involved in there. And they were just hammering, you know, Boston's goaltender. And I got him, you know, you know, tip my hat to him. He kept the pucks out of the net. They had quite a bit of opportunity. But honestly, truly, I think other than the second power play, they really didn't do much with any of their power plays. They lacked control. They lacked any kind of sense of urgency or any attempt to set up any kind of play. Other than, like I said, the second power play, they came alive and really did try to get something going, but unfortunately they just couldn't get it going.
One of those too little, too late things again.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole game last night felt like too little, too late. When they would do something, it was like, oh, that's great, but it's little late for it. You know, this would have been great, you know, 20 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago. This would have been great.
And my gosh, did Boston get bang, bang, back-to-back goals on what felt like, they weren't seconds apart, mind you, but it sure felt like it was like 20 seconds apart.
Oh, yeah, the first two goals in the first period, yeah. I mean, they were pretty much quick. You know, the first one was at 10:21. The second was at 4 minutes later at 14:09.
Like, it just felt like the way they had the puck, that it was seconds later because they didn't mess around.
Right.
Like, they come in there on the ice with a mission, and I don't feel like the Stars play that way all the time.
No.
If they came out like Boston did against us, they could easily win 50 games. And, yeah, that's a reach. Yeah, it's lofty. Say what you want. But they could. 50 games.
Right. And here's another little statistic I'm going to throw at you that we did not see a lot of last year. We were dominated in the faceoff. I mean, they had a 54.7 faceoff percentage, and we had a 45.3 faceoff percentage. I mean, that's not good. That's certainly not the Dallas Stars that we know. The Dallas Stars that were number one in faceoff almost all of last season. I think we're down almost 14th, 15th right now in faceoff. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yeah. And now that they don't win that many faceoffs, they don't know what to do.
Right. And once again, that all comes to puck control. You know, one of the saving graces that we had, I mean, I don't know how many times we would have goals off of a one faceoff last season. I mean, Pavelski was almost murdering people off of, you know, faceoff goals last season. And it just seems like this season, that's not there. It's just, it's completely missing out of their game plan. And I'm not sure what has changed, why we're losing so many face-offs, especially, and the thing is, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, but the problem being is they're not just losing face-offs, they're losing the crucial ones when we really need it. You know, those ones where we're in, you know, Boston's zone, or when we're in our opponent's zone. You know, yeah, we might be winning the ones when we're in our own zone, but the ones that we need to win when we're in, you know, in our opponent's zone, especially when we're on power plays, those are the ones we need to win, and we're just not winning those faceoffs.
Wait a minute. So what you're saying is they're not playing up to expectations when they should have an advantage. Oh, that sounds familiar.
Right.
So if they're playing in the opponent's zone, that should be urgent enough that they're able to set up for a quality scoring chance. Yes, it should. You know, defensive face-offs are all well and good. You know, it keeps them out of your zone. But, you know, the other way is a scoring chance. And you have to have a fire under your butt if you want a scoring chance, especially against Boston.
Exactly.
Not everybody's going to be Columbus.
And you know, I think at one point I mentioned to you that it seemed like Ty Dellandre was the only one that was out there that was hustling. I believe in the first or second period, it just seemed like Ty Dellandre was the only one that was doing anything. And then all of a sudden in the third period, it was, you know, Johnson was actually starting to come about, Pavelski, of course, and Roope Hintz. But it just seemed like everybody else was just, you know, painting by numbers out there, you know, just basically going with the motion, going with the flow.
I mean, you could say they're tired and whatnot, too. Oh, Wyatt did get things started with a little rush of the goal. That's why I told you, hey, Wyatt said hello to the goalie.
Right, yeah.
Because he did. He tried to get things started, man. He was fired up. And
Finally getting us our first goal in the third period at 5:09 in the third period.
I'm sorry, say it again?
And he finally did get us our first goal of the night in the third period at 5:09 in the third period.
Oh, Wyatt did.
Yes.
Yeah, well, see? I had a feeling. And oh, boy.
And that's his fourth goal on the season, mind you.
And it's been, what, 10-ish games? Right around 10 games, something like that?
Roughly.
11? Yeah, he's wow, that's almost a point a game.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Oh, my. Okay. That tells me maybe you need to bump the young guys up a line or start them first. Like, because, you know, versus a team like Boston, I believe they iced the a fourth line to start off. I don't remember. So if I get that wrong, that's why. But, you know, it wasn't Hintz, Pavelski, Robertson that I can remember at all. And, you know, I get that because the fourth line is the working line. They're out there to get the puck away from you and to set things up for the other guys. So, I mean, Delandria and Johnston doing that, if they weren't on a line together, maybe they need to be.
Right. And here's something that I want you to kind of think that'll make you go, no way. All right. So when we're talking about goals for the season,
mm-hmm.
our top goal scorers right now are Roope Hintz, no shocker there, but and Joe Pavelski, both with 5 on the season. Right after them is Wyatt Johnson with 4. And then behind him, we have Jamie Benn with 3. And then we've got Jason Robertson with 2 and Matt Duchene with 2. And then, of course, Miro Heiskanen with 1. Oh, I'm sorry. And we also have Dodonov with 3. Marchman has 2. Harley has 2. But the thing that kind of strikes me is Robertson. What is going on with him this season? I mean, yeah, I believe he's got, 7 assists right now? But 2 goals this far into the season? What's going on with Robo?
Well, it could be one of 3 things. Either he's playing with a weakness of some kind. I don't want to say hurt. But, you know, there could be something in that way. Or he's, you know, like a receiver in football and he's getting double covered. Double teamed, whatever you want to call it. I could
well,
see
and that could explain why Pavelski and Hintz, who are on the line with Robertson, both have 5 goals each. Maybe because Johnson or Robo's just getting all the attention.
Yeah, we discussed that, you and I, as well, a couple shows ago, I believe. He's going to start getting more attention. You know, he put himself on the map. And between those 3, you know, that's a very good line. And, you know, the second aspect of Robo being on that line is, hey, at least he's helping.
Right.
You know, and I feel the same way about Mason Marchment. You know, you can say what you want about that stupid little penalty. You can say that the ref was biased. You can say that, Marchment's mistake prone. You can say that he doesn't deserve to be there because whatever reason you got. A, he does. B, he does contribute. C, dude, if you didn't have him, you'd be griping that you didn't have him because of what he does on the ice. This is going to feedback I see of, oh, Marchment this, Marchment that. Last year it was Suter. If somebody's going to make a mistake, you know, you can't blame the whole team's weakness on the one guy.
No, and Marchment, I certainly wouldn't throw him under the bus for any of, you know, his penalties or anything like that. You know, penalties are one of those things, they're going to happen. And just kind of like with football, you know, there's a penalty in every play. It's just whether it's seen or not seen.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you know, if anybody wanted to throw anybody under the bus this season, if we're talking about penalties, I believe Wyatt Johnson's one of our most penalized players right now.
Yeah, but you know, people are going to say, oh, he's still young, he's learning, and he's not at the level of Tyler Seguin yet. Well, yeah, that's true. But also, a penalty tells me he's fighting for what he wants.
Exactly.
You know, I would applaud somebody for getting into a fight, protecting one of the guys, for instance, and also getting that 2-minute instigator. I would applaud that.
Oh, definitely. I applauded it the other night with Marchman.
I mean,
I think that was exactly what I told you. He wasn't standing for it. And you know, and rightfully so. You know, the hit against Duchesne was, number one, uncalled for, and took him out of that game and also this game. So, yeah, if anybody in the fan base complained about him fighting and then getting, you know, 4 minutes out because of that, you know what? Hey, y'all don't understand hockey, or y'all don't understand what it means to be teammates. And like I said, you know, he's kind of taking that role of being the enforcer. And you know what? When you're the enforcer on a team, you're going to have high penalty minutes. It's just going to happen. It's part of that role. And it's something that this team has needed as an enforcer. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing it out of him. And I'll be honest with you, I'll have words with anybody that wants to criticize him for it.
I would too, because you can't see, and you expect Jamie Benn to drop the gloves at the tiniest little thing, and then you get mad at him because he doesn't score. Well, what do you want him to do? Do you want him to drop the gloves every 10 seconds, or do you want to put a puck in the net?
Exactly. You know, at the beginning of the season, Jamie Benn was dropping the gloves quite a bit. I mean, he's kind of calmed it down a little bit, but I'll be honest with you. I thought he was going to drop the gloves the other night against Boston last night, because there was a couple of heated moments there. In fact, there was one point where, you know, even their goalie kind of came at Jamie Benn, you know, and there was at one point where the line judge was over there talking to Jamie Benn and the captain for the Bruins. And the whole time, Jamie Benn and the Bruins captain are just staring at each other. I mean, they just weren't moving. They were just eyes locked, not even talking, not even conversing or anything like that, just listening to whatever the line judge is sitting there telling them. And, you know, one of the announcers said, you know, they wish they could, you know, ask Siri, because it was funny because it was right after a Siri commercial had shown. And the announcer said, you know, I wish we could ask Siri what's going on in that little huddle right there, because I would have loved to have been a little, you know, fly in the arena to sit there on one of their shoulders and listen to what was going on at that moment, because whatever it was, you know, yeah, they were listening, but they were both intently laser focused on each other. And I think after that was when Jamie Benn went and kind of started just throwing his weight around. And like they said, you know, don't poke the bear. And Jamie Benn is kind of a bear out there on the ice.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, to add to that, man, you're not going to get 40 goals out of him. You're not. He's not that kind of guy. He'd rather set somebody up nowadays and, you know, take on the big brother role if needed. That's what I get from watching him play.
Exactly. And, you know, right now his statistics aren't bad at all. You know, in 11 games, he's got 6 assists, 3 goals. I mean, you really can't shake too much at that, saying, you know, anything against it. You know, he's got, in 11 games, he's sitting at 9 points right now.
Again,
I mean, we've got some
point a game.
Pretty much. I mean, we've got some players that are sitting at almost a point a game right now. You know, Hintz, who's played in 10 games, he's got 11 points. Pavelski in 11 games, he's got 11 points. Ben, like I said, he's got 9 points. Yeah. Ben right now sitting at 9 points. Robo, yeah, he may not be getting the goals, but he is getting the assists. And I think we've already kind of discussed why we think that's probably going to be, because he's garnering all the attention. And check this out. Oh, young man Wyatt Johnston, in 11 games, he's got 8 points, 4 assists, and 4 goals. This young man's lighting it up, I'm telling you.
See, that was one of the things that I was ready to go off on a tangent about when I told you I was ready to. Because, you know, you can cover Robertson, you can cover Hintz, you can cover Pavelski, you can cover Sagan, Duchesne, whatever. You still got to worry about the Sam Stills, the Craig Smiths, the Delandrias, and the Johnstons. And to be quite honest with you, man, the one thing that I saw that was a bright spot, a major bright spot of the game last night, was Wyatt Johnston. He just went right at Boston like, I don't give a flip who you are.
Oh, yeah. The boy's got no fear. That young man has no fear. But once again, take this back, what, two or three games ago, when he got lit up going across the ice, didn't miss a play. Went off the bench, came right back out there for his next opportunity.
I think the stage is set. You know, you got the big names covered. Big names possibly not playing the way they should be, whatever you want to throw at them, because, you know, you're in the coaching locker room and you see everything. Whatever you want to throw at them, man, it's time for the young men, Delandrias and the Johnstons of the world, and even more, to step up. And I believe when you start seeing those young men pulling the weight, you know, you're going to liven up the old guys.
Oh, yeah. And then you've got the wild cards that are out there, like the Duchesnes, that unfortunately we didn't have him through part of the game before and all of last night. But hopefully he'll be back. Even he's doing pretty good this season. You know, in 10 games, he's got 5 points.
Bro, I feel so stupid because, you know, I looked at who he was bought out by. Who was it, Nashville last year? Yeah.
I
looked at the fact that he was bought out, and for the life of me, I questioned and questioned and questioned what he's going to do here if he was bought out. And, you know, he's doing his thing. He's added to the team, and, you know, we might miss the face-off winning of Luke Glendinning, but Duchesne he's a whole different dude.
He really is. And he's really good at setting up plays.
Mm. Oh, hockey gods.
Which is why I think we missed him last night.
Yes. Please, hockey gods, give me a Duchesne, a Johnston, and a Robo, or a Hens. Ooh. Oh my gosh, I am salivating. That would be amazing. I think they do play him on the power play, though. I'll have to look closer.
I believe so.
Oh, boy. Don't just play him on the power play. Set it up as a real line. I bet you that would... Ooh. My gosh.
Well, and you know what? And that is one of our shining stars of this season is our power play. I mean, I think we're one of the top teams in power play this season so far.
That's good. But, you know, like Minnesota said, if all you can do is score on the power play. I'll never forget that.
I'm talking about defending against the power play.
Okay.
Yeah,
the penalty kill. That they've always, well, here lately, they've been great at the penalty kill. So I'm not surprised, but that also tells me you're taking a lot of penalties.
This is true too.
I mean, if you're, yeah, if you're 11 of 20, whatever they are, you're taking a lot of penalties. And
so moving forward, we've got Columbus coming up tomorrow night. We've already beat them 5-3 in our first game on the 30th of October. That one was in Dallas. This one's going to be in Columbus. What's your thoughts on this game?
I don't see a 5-3 game happening again. In fact, I don't see a 5-goal game happening for the Stars at all. If you look at the last couple of games, you know, it seems like the offense is drying up just a little bit. It seems like they can't get their legs under them as fast as they should. And here's the thing with Columbus. You know, everybody says Dallas has their number, and we've gone back to any given day. But you know, you can't write off Columbus, especially when you're working on, what is this, two games that we've lost in a row now?
Yeah, we've lost two in a row.
One of which was a shutout.
Unfortunately, yes.
So that tells me the offense is trying to dry up. And Columbus is a good team to go ahead and try and fire that back up against. But if you're unable to against a Columbus, what does that say?
Right. You know,
so
we're 7-3-1. They're 4-5-3 right now.
Did you say 4-5-3?
Yes, I did.
Columbus? What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is unfortunate. You guys are actually pretty entertaining to watch. Dang. That hurts my heart, actually. That's a fun team to watch. Nah, they'll pull it together. And the luck that I see is them pulling it together against the Stars. You know, they got to figure out how to jumpstart their offense early against Columbus. And if they don't, and I don't know who's going to be in net yet. I haven't seen or heard. But if they don't, whoever's in net's not going to matter because they could be Swiss cheese. And if Sagan, Marchment, Delandria, Johnston, and all those guys can't score, you know, all they're doing is sitting there with their sticks in their hands and just looking around.
Yeah, I agree. I still think the Stars win this game. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be like the last game. I don't think it's going to be a 5-3 affair. I think it's going to be a little lower scoring than that. I think it's going to be like a 2-1 or 2. You know, it may even be a 2-0 game. But I don't see this as a high scoring affair. I don't see us getting 5 goals on this one. I see this being a 2-3 against 2 or something like that. You know, the Stars will win by one goal.
An empty netter would be nice.
Yeah. That would be nice. And I think that was what helped us get through that 5-3 the other night. On the 30th against them. I think we got an empty netter.
Well, see, here's the thing as well. If you want to get even 3 goals, you got to get your offense started early.
Yeah, that's one thing. This game against Columbus, they cannot wait till the third period to all of a sudden. And if you remember, last season, they had a streak where that's the way it was. You know, the first period, they did horrible. The second period, they did, and all of a sudden in the third period, or maybe it was the first period, I'm trying to remember. Might have been the second period that they finally came up, and then they were in the third period. I think that's what it was. So last season, we were in the first period. We were outstanding in the second period there for a run, and not so in the third period. And one of the things we discussed is they need to work on the consistency of that. You've got to be good in all three periods. You cannot just take a period off, play a great period, and then take another period off, or take two periods off and then all of a sudden start trying to win the game. That's not going to get it done, not in this league.
Right. That's one thing I feel like old coach in Boston now, Jim Montgomery, did well here. You know, when Dallas was starting off the first period when he was a coach, you know, you'd see him feel it out just a little bit, take shots here and there. Or just flat out by the end of the first period, come out firing, and then the progression to the game winner would be all the way up until the third period. You know, either they were gonna win by one, or the opponent was buried in goals by then. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not degrading DeBoer's performance as a coach. I would never do that. Because I don't even see what they see. So, but I mean, if you get back to that where you're, you know, trying to get your footing under you in the first, you build up a little bit at a time, you know. What is it that you said the other night, the last show we did, played chess instead of checkers?
Right. You want to play chess, not checkers.
that's part of their problem. And I feel like if their offensive drought is coming, which sometimes it does, if you plan out your strategy a little bit cleaner, you never know what will happen. This team is loaded to the gills with offense. There should be.
Yeah, they are.
And, you know, once again, start off slow in the first. That's fine. Get your footing out from under you. Try to have control in the, at the end of the first, into the second. At the second, build up a little bit more. Put it away in the third. That's how they've always won. I don't know. It seems like they won a couple times that way last year, too, under DeBoer.
Yeah.
Columbus.
Well,
is...
and I feel like Coach DeBoer is in some ways frustrated because I think that he's trying to do what needs to be done. But once again, here's the problem. He's not on the ice with these guys. You know, they're the ones that have to put in the extra time. They're the ones that have to put in what needs to be done to get the to get this puck control issue under control.
One-on-one practice time with your teammates, man, that would earn a lot of what's that word called? Respect.
Right.
I think that might be the word. Is it respect? You know.
Yeah. I mean.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was listening to you. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You said no. I was listening to you. I was just I was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, Ben, players only meeting. Why not? You know, especially if you cannot beat Columbus because quote unquote we have their number. See, that saying alone just irks me to my very core. Because regardless of having one's number, it can be used against you as well.
This is true.
And, you know, they could haul off and just kick your tail feathers. And then what? Look at, who was it last year? Oh, yeah, Vegas? Oh, no, we're so much of a better team. Yeah, they sent us packing and what was it, six? And then they won the Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
No, sir. Nobody has anybody's number. We're going to go out there. We're going to play 20 minutes at a time. We're going to play each shift at a time. And that's how you win. You play for each other and play for the fans. That's what matters.
Right.
And we got to give big props to the Stars fans, too. I mean, at least I do, because I've heard them. I've heard them loud and clear. And, you know, that's a real good thing. You know, we need the arena packed with Stars fans as much as possible because you don't want the other fans in there and you don't want them to be the ones making the noise.
Yeah, there were quite a handful of Boston fans I saw last night at the game.
They were almost as loud as the Stars fans, were they not?
I believe so.
Like, that's crazy. I respect it, don't get me wrong, because that means their fans either live here or travel well, one or the other.
Right.
But, you know, that's your arena. Y'all got to act like it and energize your team. This is in Columbus, though, so we have to put up with their fans.
Yeah. Which their I think, you know, Columbus is going to play a little bit better than they did in Dallas.
You might see a game that of like a night and day, I believe. Night and day difference. I'm not buying the fact that, 5-3 in October. This game's ours. Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with the offense seemingly drying up already. There's something wrong there. And like you said, you pointed it out, Matt Duchene got knocked out of the game and took the offense with him?
Yeah. Seems like it, or at least it feels like it.
It does. Like, how does that happen? I don't understand. Columbus. I should be excited about this. I should be thinking they're going to win like the rest of the media people or Stars fans or whoever it is. It's social media, I'm not going to lie. I should be that excited and hyped and, yeah, I'm going to stay up all night if that's what it takes to watch this game. But, man, I'm going to go to bed in the first period. And you know I don't miss a game. You know me better than anybody that's ever done this show with me. I never miss a game unless I just can't handle it.
Well, the good thing is the game starts at, what, 7:30?
Hey, I might make it through two periods. Woo! Ah, who am I kidding? I'll make it through three. Well, I mean, what do you think? What's your verdict on Columbus, man? What's the keys to victory here?
Well, they need to be aggressive off the bat. Don't wait until your later second into your third periods to finally start showing up to the game. Need to have better puck control. And you need to take advantage of the advantages that are given to you. If you're on the power play, you need to score, or at least come out with more scoring opportunities than your opponent.
Well said. So, can they do it against Columbus, or are they going to fumble?
I think they'll get it done against Columbus. I really do. I don't mean to take anything away from any team out there, but I just feel like, you know, we do have a pretty good shot at beating Columbus in Columbus. I wouldn't take it lightly, and it's a good bounce back game. But that's the whole thing. It's a bounce back game. That means you've got to bounce back, because waiting in the wings after Columbus is Winnipeg.
Oh shoot! Is Winnipeg coming up really?
Yeah, they're right after Columbus.
Oh my! Okay, now I'm scared.
And they're 5-4-2.
Okay, I'm a little less scared.
So, yeah, so we've got Columbus, then Winnipeg, then Minnesota, and then Arizona. Then Colorado, then the Rangers.
Those last two games, ow.
Colorado. So we have a heck of a stint ahead of us, you know, going through November 20th. November 20th, we play against the Rangers. The 20th, we play the Rangers.
Thank you for looking that up.
Uh-huh.
Man, so really, the best time to kind of water down that offensive drought, get some hydration in there, is Columbus.
Yeah, because, I mean, well, we've got our next three games are away games. We've got Columbus at Columbus, Winnipeg at Winnipeg, Minnesota at Minnesota. Then we come home for Arizona, we're home for Colorado, and we're home for New York. So we have three away games, and then we have three home games. So what we need to do is we need to build some momentum, and it starts with that Columbus game. We've got to build some solid momentum going into Columbus. We've got to maintain that momentum going against Winnipeg and try to hold on to that momentum going against a tough Minnesota team, because you know anytime we go against Minnesota, that is going to be a game. And that is one that it's hard to pick. You know, we've won some in Minnesota, we've lost some in Minnesota, and, you know, we know how that series went last season. And, you know, Minnesota is one of those teams, they're going to stick around, and, you know, it's they can have a late season run again. And so, we're probably going to see them again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It seems like I told you before, it seems like every season, even though that's incorrect, we see them in some way, shape, or form in a season-making or breaking situation.
Exactly.
And that doesn't necessarily mean playoffs, but it means when we play them during the regular season, those points matter the most, Winnipeg scares me. And that's, that's a game you can jump on and build further momentum to take to Minnesota with you. I just hope they can do it, man. And that the offensive drought, dude, from zero goals to, what was it, two last night?
Yeah. Two late goals. It's hard to even count those because honestly, truly, they didn't come to the third period. We were already pretty much out of the game. I hate to say it. And yeah, there was a lot of too little too late, to be honest with you, in my opinion.
Well, see, here's the thing, too. If we pound Columbus like everybody's saying we should and could, that's going to be looked down upon, too. Because why are you pounding I've already seen that on social media, in fact. Why are you pounding the bad teams and losing to the good teams?
Yeah.
I saw that about Boston on the Dallas Stars' own post. Like, huh? Could it be that Boston, they do know us because, hi, Jim Montgomery, old coach. Of course, they might have our number. A, they're more talented. B, they have the coach that used to be here. I don't know. I don't like these uncertain feelings, dude. I really don't. And I'm a Cowboys fan. We live in that. Hey. I don't know. But, yeah, you're right. Winnipeg, man. Ooh, Colorado and New York. They need to start building momentum now.
Right.
Now. Like yesterday, even.
Because, like you were saying, yeah, it's great if we can beat some of these teams here, 5-4, 5-4-3, or whatever, 4-5-3, or whatever. But when we've got to get some wins against some of these teams that are going to be, someone we may see later on in either a Stanley Cup situation or in the playoffs. Colorado is definitely a team we could run into in the playoffs for certain.
It'd be 1999 all over again. You never know.
God, listen, those Colorado teams in the 90s were terrifying.
That's kind of where they are now.
Yeah.
Like, who was it that was out? McCarr? Yeah, McCarr. I sent you a post, and I was like, uh-oh. And you're like, oh, boy. We thought the same thing, and we commented something similar, but they're still doing good without him?
Right.
That is a terrifying team. I'm sorry. Like, you're missing one player and you keep going. That is a great team. And, yeah, that's your measuring stick. The Colorados, the Vegas. Go Anaheim, by the way. Thank you.
Right.
That, too. That's an example. Every dog has its day. What can you do against the top team, when – look what happens when you muster up a little more energy against the top team. You can put them away.
Right. And you know what? We can't even look ourselves in the mirror and consider ourselves a top team until we can actually beat a top team. And right now, in my opinion, we are 0-2 against top teams. We lost against the Vegas and we've lost against Boston. So now we're fixing to have two more top teams coming up on November 18th, we've got Colorado, and on November 20th, we've got New York. Colorado 7-3-0. They're right there with us. We're 7-3-1. We're just, what, a point ahead of them right now in the standings. And then, of course, you got New York, the Rangers, who are 8-2-1. So we've got to win at least one of those games. And, I mean, when I say win, I mean win in winning fashion, not just, okay, we want a shootout, or, okay, we want an overtime. No, I mean, we've got to win and win clean.
Mm-hmm. New York is going to be huge because New York always pushes us around.
Yeah. Well, both, in my opinion, I think both those games are huge. Colorado, I mean, that's huge. They're our rivals, one of our main rivals. And then, like you said, the Rangers are known for pushing us around. So, you know, both of those games, I think, are equally as huge. And, you know, not saying it could happen, but my God, could you imagine if we came out and actually won both of those games? And let's just say over this next stretch against, you know, Columbus, Winnipeg, Minnesota, and Arizona, let's just say for the sake of saying, we go 3-1 in that. Let's just say we lose to Minnesota, because that's going to be a tough game. Of those games, I think Minnesota is going to be the toughest. That's just my opinion. Because it's in Minnesota, because there's so much bad blood between us and Minnesota. So, that being said, let's just say we go 3-1 over this next stretch. And then we win those two games against Colorado and New York. That right there would put us in the driver's seat
in the division. I think the rest of the league would look at that and start shaking.
Right, you know. But that would send the message.
Yeah, it would. But it's all about that M-word, momentum. And they got to start fast and end fast. Or start fast and end faster. Maybe that's the word. End faster.
We've got to start fast. Our playmakers need to be making some plays. We need to stay in the offensive zone when we are in the offensive zone. We need to stay in the offensive zone. Allow our defenders to come up and help our forwards and our centers. And give us opportunities to you know, scoring opportunities. And we need to take those scoring opportunities.
Stop playing scared hockey.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the time for feeling out and things of that nature, that's done. We're into the season now. So now is the time to go ahead and, you know, get it done. Get the job done.
You ever look at this team, by the way? I agree. You ever look at this team and see the feedback of, oh, this team's better than last year's, look at the stats and go, are they?
I think statistically they probably are better than last season's, but watching it on the ice from the last season to this season, I'm much more frustrated with this team than I was last season at this time. So, I don't know. I don't rely on statistics, because statistics can lie.
That's exactly the point I was trying to make, though, because you look at the stats, you look at how they play, and you're like, nope, error 404 does not compute.
Right.
It doesn't compute at all. They're playing scared hockey, but why? Everybody's hyping them up to be a better team than last year. Then why are they playing like that? Why are they playing with the tail between their legs? Why are they giving up the puck so easily? What's it going to take for them to turn into the hockey team that we knew towards the middle and end of last year? They're not there yet.
No, they're not. It's going to take them sitting down and figuring it out amongst themselves. It's not going to be something the coaches are going to be able to fix. This has got to be on an individual basis to get this fixed. That's just being as honest as I can be.
And that's on team leadership there.
And it is. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to cut this short. I do got to get to the store, figure out something for dinner. So I've already kind of given my prediction for the, over the next games. I think we go 3-1. I think we lose to Minnesota. I think we win against Columbus, Winnipeg, and Arizona. I don't want to predict too much into the Colorado and New York games yet, but we'll get to those later on. But so it all starts tomorrow night. We need to get out there and get going, go fast, and you know, show the league that we are a premier team.
Man, you said a whole bunch of positivity, and I'm just hoping they play like they have a pair. And you know my upbringing, because you were in the same situation. Play like you have a pair, man.
Right?
Ugh. I don't know. I'm not giving my prediction. I'm not that brave. So I guess I'll end my end of this show by saying, go Stars. Shoot.
There you go. Go Stars. It's been a pleasure. Thanks. We'll do it again next week.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. And thank you, BS3. On that note, we are out.
Go Stars.
Go Stars. Dallas Stars! Dallas!